Okay, so question number 60 of the Heidelberg Catechism ask, how are you righteous before God? Okay, so this is basically the catechism being taught to the believers in the Lord. It's a way for us to remember the basic doctrines that we subscribe to, that we believe in. And part of this is our righteousness before God. So this is being asked, how are you righteous before God? And then it gives us this answer. Only by a true faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? We've been talking about this over and over again, and I hope that by this time, we already know that our salvation is only by faith in Christ Jesus. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then it continues, that is, though my conscience accuse me that I have grievously sinned against all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and that I am still inclined to all evil, yet God, without any merit of mine, of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never had nor committed any sin, and myself had accomplished all the obedience which Christ has rendered for me, if only I accept such benefit with a believing heart. And that, brothers and sisters, is the central truth of our confession, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And there is no contribution whatsoever of any merit on our part. We don't say, I lived a godly life, therefore I am saved. I lived a moral life, therefore I am saved. There is no part or contribution of all of good works in our salvation. In your salvation, in my salvation, it is purely the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you would believe it, receive it, accept it, surrender to the truth. Because the imputation, when we say imputation, it is the mystical transfer of Christ's righteousness to us who believes. It is not our righteousness. It is Christ's righteousness imputed to us. Therefore, in the eyes of God, we satisfied His requirement, even though we didn't contribute anything to it. That is why it's called good news, or the gospel salvation, which is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we have to understand this deeply. We call it our spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin. We are delivered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is very important, very central to our belief. As followers of Christ, as believers of the Lord, this is so central that it ushered a reformation in the time of Martin Luther, because the church veered away from the clear teaching of the scripture handed down to us by Christ through His apostles, through the church fathers, and through the early church up to the medieval time when the church veered away from this truth. And so some in the church believed that the truth needs to be redeemed again. The church has to be reformed. And part of that, one central book that helped usher that reformation movement is the book of Galatians. It is so important that Martin Luther even called it my epistle, or my personal epistle, the Magna Carta of Christian Liberty. That if Martin Luther would have a preference, he would choose Galatians because of the centrality of that truth. That there is no flesh that could be justified by law, but only by grace alone. So he even called it my Catherine. Catherine is the name of his wife because of his indebtedness to the clear teaching of the scripture, especially in the book of Galatians. So the book of Galatians is such an important book. And when we, the leaders, have been praying, what book are we going to preach starting this new year? We agreed to preach on the epistle or the letter of Paul to the Galatians. And so we will begin a journey. And we don't know when would this end. But Galatians is a short letter composed of just 6 chapters. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can browse it real quick and see that this letter has 6 chapters. And the central theme, of course, is our freedom in Christ. That we are only justified by grace through faith in Christ alone, not by works. And this month also, our church in Mount Vernon has started a series on the book of Philippians. So it's also a very interesting study. So we're studying both Philippians and Galatians, start of January. And I covet your prayers as the members of the church to pray that we would not lose the meaning of these scriptures and that the Lord would apply it to our hearts. That for us to have a greater appreciation of what we have, because we are stewards of the deposit that the Holy Spirit has brought into us. Therefore, according to the scripture, he who began a good work in you will be able to complete it until the day of his coming. There is a work that has been started in us. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a born-again Christian, you are a believer, that's the deposit that has been entrusted to you. And it is my prayer that as we go to the study of Galatians, that we would have a greater appreciation of this faith that we received as a gift from the Lord. Amen? A greater appreciation. And therefore, for us to glory God and for us to live according to the scriptures, according to the principles written on this. So, we'll start our journey here in Galatians chapter 1. And again, if you have your Bibles with you, we'll read the first 5 verses. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. To the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So if you would ask me what's the central verse of Galatians, it would be found in verse 16 of chapter 2, justified by faith. In verse 16 of chapter 2, it says, yet we know that a person, okay, it would mean we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. This very central truth of the scripture is under attack. That's why Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians to address this threat from the both from the inside and the outside that threatens the purity of the gospel. And you know what? If Galatians didn't happen, we may not know Christianity as we know it today. It may have remained as a part of Judaism. We should have known the freedom that we have in Christ. If not for example, that central teaching about the purity of the gospel that we just read in verse 16 of chapter 2. It's very clear in here that no one will be saved by the works of law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. See how often he would repeat that. But through faith in Christ. Through faith in Christ. Through faith in Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified. Again, by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. So on the other hand is the works of the law. And the other one is faith in Christ. So what would happen then to the works of the law? If we could be justified by faith alone in Christ alone, is the law important at all? Because that's the question that you may pose. What about the law? What's the purpose or what's the function of the law? Especially with Judaism, the law is central to their faith. They say that made them special people because of the law that God gave them through Moses. And now we're just going to discard the law. What is the purpose of the law? And that is a valid question. If I will ask you, what's the purpose of the law? What's the purpose of the law? Are we just going to discard it? Not pay attention to it? Because we are, after all, saved by faith alone in Christ alone. So what's the purpose of the law? On the other hand, the law is essential. First, in our understanding of what sin is, right? Again, the law is essential in our understanding of what sin is. Because without the law, we do not have anything to break. And therefore, there is no such thing as sin. Understand? So without the law, there would be no understanding of sin because there's no law, no violation at all of any laws. Therefore, there's no sin. For example, when God made Adam and Eve, they're free. The true, free, moral beings. They're not tainted with sin in the garden. Their judgment are not tainted by the corruption or by the fall of man. So they are really free, moral agents. But if there is no law to violate, then there is no obedience, right? There is no obedience. And how could you demonstrate your love for God if there is no obedience? Obedience is the manifestation of love. That's why the prohibition not to eat the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden is not to restrict Adam and Eve, but it's more for them to express their love for God. But without that, there would be no idea of sin. There would be no concept of sin. The same in the principle here. Without the law, there is nothing to break. There is nothing to violate. And therefore, there is no such a thing as sin. So if there's a benefit of the law, that is, first, it tells us what sin is all about. Amen? Now we have a conception of what sin is. But secondly, and more importantly, the purpose of the law is to drive us to depend on God alone for our salvation. The purpose of the law is for us to become desperate. The purpose of the law is to remind us that no matter our attempt to be good, we fall short. As the scripture says, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if there's a purpose of the law, it's to remind us, you know what, no matter what you do, you're not going to attain the standards of God, the high standards of God, the perfection of God. There is no way for you to attain it. That is what the law is shouting at us. First, the law makes us aware what sin is. And second, the law is shouting at us, you're hopeless. God demands that you be perfect. God demands that you be righteous. And based on the results that you're making in your life, you fall short. And therefore, you don't deserve. That is what the law is doing to us. It's shouting to us so that we would be desperate. Desperate to what? Desperate to run to God alone for our salvation. When you say that, God, I could not attain your perfection. I could not attain your righteousness. There's just no way for me to live out the way that you want me to be. Because we are fallen. God, accept that you have mercy on me. I do not have any hope. There you go. That's the purpose of the law for you. To remind you that on yourself you are hopeless. That all that left by yourself, you don't have anything that you can do to attain the perfect righteousness of God. And that is exactly what the letter of Galatians is telling us, okay? That's the purpose of the law there. We don't discard it, but we thank God for the law because it reminds us what sin is and it drives us to be desperate for the mercy of God. God, maawa ka sa akin. Remember the publican who beats his breast in asking for mercy before God? Jesus Christ said, this one went home justified. Why? Because he is desperate. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's it. As compared to the proud Pharisee who sees himself as righteous and who sees himself as being able to obey everything that God has commanded him as a good Jewish person, failing to see the corruption inside his heart. Okay, so those are the two purposes of the law. It's important. We thank God for the law. It reminds us what sin is. And it drives us to be desperate for the mercy of God. But also that we may know that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And now this is being attacked. And look what the people, or we call the Judaizers. Okay, so what's going on here actually? The church in Galatia is a church planted by Paul.
Si Paul yung nagsimula ng church sa Galatia.
Primarily, mostly Gentiles. But there are also Jewish people who are converted to Christianity. But this is what they do, okay?
Some of these Jewish people who are also converted to Christianity are making extra demand. And they're threatening, because up to this point, they see Christianity as just a branch of Judaism, right? Judaism is the religion of the Jewish people, of Israelite, the worship of God, with the laws of Moses, that's their Torah. And now, since Christianity is basically an offshoot of Judaism, up to this point, they see Christianity just as a branch of Judaism. And now that they heard Paul preaching the free grace, okay, that this grace has now been opened by God to everyone, they feel threatened. No, Paul, we cannot do that. And the way they do it is to attack Paul. And they said, you know what, you believe in Paul? Paul is no legit. Paul is a fake man, okay? So if you want to attack the message, attack the messenger. This is exactly what these people did. That's why, see a verse 1. Paul, then apostrophe, and then his affirmation of his calling, an apostle. Wow. Paul, an apostle. Why? Because he's being attacked by these people. He's no apostle. So there are only 12 apostles. Apostles means send out ones or commissioned by Christ himself. So there are 12 originally. Then Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. Then in Acts, he was replaced by Matthias. There are 12. And there will be no one just like them again, because in order for you to be an apostle, you have to be witnessed. You have witnessed Christ firsthand. You have touched him, talked with him. And then God also has sent you. Remember what Jesus Christ said in John? He who received them which I sent also received me. So in other words, God, Jesus Christ, gave them authority to be his ambassadors, to stand on his behalf. So when you receive, for example, Peter and John, you receive Christ. Because he has given them this kind of authority. But that's not transferable. They're only 12 apostles, and Paul. Because Paul, though not part of the original 12, but there is a special circumstance that he also qualified with that criteria. Because the criteria is you have to sing Jesus Christ, trained by Christ and commissioned by Christ. And that is exactly what he's saying here. I'm an apostle. I know the 12, but I'm an apostle because God also called me to an apostle. See, not from man. I'm not sent from man. Not through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. So he is building up his case here of his being apostle. That I'm legitimate. Because these Judaizers are trying to destroy his message by first destroying the man. But Paul would not back out. I planted the church in Galatia. Galatia is now part of modern Turkey. I planted the church, but now these Judaizers are undermining the gospel. We have to do something. And the first attack is that Paul is not a legitimate apostle, but here's Paul saying, I'm an apostle. I'm not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Remember, on his conversion in the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ appeared to him. And again, he would say that his revelation, the revelation that he received, okay, yung mga binigay sa kanya ng Panginoon, the doctrines, the concept of this salvation by grace alone through faith alone is not his. This is not something that Paul made up. It is received from Christ himself. Okay? So even though
he's teaching this, but the content of his theology is received from Christ, not from men. Okay? Received.
And, but, he's not saying, you know, whatever I say, that's from God. No, because he also, that's why he didn't, okay, kasi ngayon may mga apostle, mga fake prophets and fake apostles sometimes, they would say, you know what, I'm apostle. I'm prophet. How can we know? I heard the voice of God. How can we know? This is different. We know that the full revelation of God in terms of our salvation and of our life is already revealed, closed in the Bible. And part of that is through the writings of Paul. And here, Paul's conversion is different because it has been confirmed and affirmed by all the other apostles, right? He received something. And then, remember, the council in Jerusalem and the Antioch, when the apostles said, okay, you know, lahat ng tinanggap mo at lahat ng sinabi mo, lahat ng ginagawa mo sa Gentiles, ay galing sa Diyos. Okay, so there's no monopoly there. But there's an accountability as well. Hindi kumikilos si Paul without the church. So we are confident that whatever Paul received, he received it from God himself. So that's his revelation. Kaya sinabi niya, I'm an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And that's very important because without resurrection, our faith is meaningless. And he said, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. And here's part of his salutation. Grace to you, right? And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is such an important word in the New Testament. Grace is unmerited favor, undeserved. So it's something that is freely given. That's why Paul could say, always grace to you. We are so undeserving of the grace of God. We are undeserving of the favor that we receive, but we receive it nonetheless because of his love for us, because of his compassion for us. Again, our salvation is not based on our works, but only on the grace of God. Okay, so grace. There's nothing that you can do. If you're already in Christ, you have received this by gift, grace of God, there's nothing that you can do to add to it anymore so that God would accept you. And there's nothing that you can do less for God to reject you. Your acceptance of God is based on the work of Christ in you. That's why it's called grace. The question is, natanggap mo na ba yung grace na yan? Have you really received that grace from God? Are you really now in Christ? Are you now a part of His church? Are you a part of His body? If He is the branch, are you a vine? If He is the head, are you part of the body? These are the questions. Because these are the ultimate questions that we have to answer at the end of the day. God has given us just how many years in life? Are you making the gift that you receive worth it? Because if you are not in Christ, if you haven't received salvation by grace alone in Christ, then your life is futile. Sayang lang ang buhay mo. Even if you would have all these things that the world are offering and giving to you, if you don't have that salvation, sayang lang ang buhay mo. Why? Grace to you, this is the first word, and peace. Of course, we know that the ultimate peace is the everlasting peace. Why there's peace? Because other than Christ, we are at war. At war with God. At war with whom? At war with God. Alam mo, kung mamimili ka lang ng kaaway, huwag Diyos ang awayin mo. Kasi wala kang panalo. You can never win against God. Never. Mas magandang gawin mo is lumipat ka sa panig ng Diyos. Kung pipili ka lang ng kalaban mo, huwag mong kakalabanin ang Diyos. Make peace with God. And this is the everlasting peace that God has given us, His followers, as believers of the Lord. And this pertains not only with the peace that we have right now, but it's the peace that is everlasting. When we dwell with God, finally, in the place He reserved for us. Meron ka ba niyan? Have you already a partaker of this everlasting peace as a result of the salvation that you received from Him when you believed, when you received that grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? And this is a wonderful letter, brothers and sisters. I encourage you, we're just starting. This is so rich. And I hope and pray that after this, that the Word of God would really strengthen our love for Him who died for us on the cross, so that there will be a way for us to make peace with God. That our faith would be strengthened, that we would have a greater appreciation of the gift that we receive. Because sometimes it's just easy. It's we take it for granted. We just think, you know, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. But you didn't know that something so grand happened. That's why you're enjoying it. The precious blood of Christ was spilled on the cross for you. Now, huwag mong babaliwalain yan. Don't. Just don't take it for granted. But first, make sure that you are really in Christ. Na ikaw talaga ay kabilang sa katawan ng Panginoon. And this is important lesson for all of us. Okay, and I will stop and I'll cut the message short in there. And on Sunday, we'll continue with verse 6 and so on. And our prayer is this week, okay? Let's reflect on the salvation that we received. Ligtas ka hindi dahil nagpapakabait ka o hindi dahil nagsisikap ka, wala, hindi ka kayang iligtas niyan. Naligtas ka dahil lamang kinahabagan ka ng Diyos. Besides that, wala kang hope, wala kang kaligtasan. Let's just reflect on that, of the gospel truth. And then read Galatians, please. Make this in your things to do this week, to read Galatians. Read it and read it again. And soak yourself into it, that we may have that greater appreciation of this work of God in us. Okay, so if you have your communication card with you, do you have your communication card with you? Because now we're going to also sign up for our growth groups. One of my next steps today at the back of that is for me to memorize Galatians 2:20. Such a wonderful verse, Galatians 2:20. Ano sinabi doon? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Okay? So memorize that, Galatians 2:20. And then there are the rest of the steps that you could do today. You could pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done so, you can memorize Galatians 2:20. You can sign up for a growth group starting today. And then you can invite a friend to visit Oak Harbor Christian Fellowship next Sunday. Or you can invite a friend to sign up for a growth group. And now, before we close, let's just do this real quick, okay?